You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. 216-578-0850, the way to get on board. And don't forget, Dog Pound, that we want you to design our end zone banners this season. We're selecting three winning designs to be revealed to 68,000 fans at First Energy Stadium. The winning designs receive game tickets, sideline passes, and a customized jersey to enter. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com right now. One thing we haven't gotten into so far in the first 2 hours of this show, but we need to: special teams. Okay, I'm out of the locker room. I'm just here on the radio. You guys have been in locker room. Special teams now critical to the game. Even if Jordan Poyer, first of all, no business catching that ball inside the 5 yard line. I'm sure
none.
Then you fumble it. If you just catch that punt, let it go in the end zone, even if you're down, you're still down 10-6. It was a one possession game at that point.
Well, you especially don't catch it off your face mask.
That it makes it very difficult to get metal involved. But now special teams have had an impact on multiple games, and they've all been negative impacts. What's going on in the locker room? What are you guys thinking? And just in general, what are your feelings about the Browns special teams right now? Do changes need to be made? And if so, what kind?
Well, I'll go on and say that just like at running back, I feel like we have the same predicament at running back. It's like we've seen Benjamin back, returning punts. We've seen Poyer back. We've got Jim Leonard. And it's like, who determines when and why? And it's like, and at some point, we have to realize that I think that if Benjamin's not returning punts, in my eyes, it's a fair catch or catch the ball and get 5 yards and get down type of scenario. Because at that point, you've got an offense that is scoring, getting first downs, and moving the football. And a defense, you know, that doesn't need an extra opportunity to be out on the football field at that point because, you know, we haven't been the defense we thought we'd be capable of. And again, I Jordan Poyer's got to feel like absolute you-know-what today. He really, really does, because it what makes it even worse is that they just come right back and they score the next play. You know, it's just a huge, huge slap in the face. So that being said, I really just think they need to hone in on who does what. And as I keep harping on that, it's like, why are we still trying guys out? Like, let's find a guy. And if you're a starter on offense or a starter on defense, I was a starter on special teams. That was my spot. I took pride in playing that position to the best of my ability. And I just think it's the lower half of the roster, but it's like there's too much jarble, like moving people around, trying this guy, trying that guy. Let's find a guy and go with it. You know what I mean?
The thing that was so crazy to me is literally right before Poyer's fumble, they talked about Jim Leonard being the sure
the
hands,
catcher.
The reason he's back there. 5 minutes before that whole thing happened, and then it's like, wait a minute, who's that?
Not only well, punt, been, but they'd been doing, to be fair, what they'd been doing is if they felt that it was a kick that was going inside the 20, it was Leonard to fair catch it. And if it was not, they were going with Poyer because he could return it. Now, the guy boomed it. I believe he kicked it from about
sure.
his own 30.
Right, but punt catcher, but also, too, why Jim Leonard? Not only can he catch the ball, a lot of people can catch the ball, but decision-maker.
Smart
decision-maker who can catch the football.
That's why a guy like him has been around the NFL for as long as he has.
You do want to see, I think, an element of danger, though. I think you can even get different kinds of punts coming at you when you're a kind of guy that they know if you catch and get a crease, you can be gone. I don't know if Taylor Gabriel, for example, is somebody who could return kicks. I know he did in college. We know Justin Gilbert certainly did that in college as well. But I don't know if there's another answer on this roster at punt returner, but I think it's something that needs to be seriously evaluated because we saw how important special teams can be in a game that happened yesterday. Seattle and St. Louis. Not only did the Rams pull off an unbelievable punt return, fake punt return for a touchdown where they basically misdirected the entire Seahawks to one side of the field even though the ball went the other, which how do you not know where the ball is? I don't know.
They misdirected but the entire
everything.
Television audience.
Everybody. And they get a touchdown out of it, and then they come up with a fake punt to ice the game back up near their own goal line. A gutsy call that works out. This is a Browns team that I think defensively is getting where we thought they were going to be. Offensively, I think we've not seen necessarily the peak of them, but we saw a great performance, and I think they're going to maybe have a little regression to the mean just when you think about everything, the loss of Mac, et cetera. Special teams need to make a difference for this team, and so far the only difference they've made has been negative.
It's hard. It's hard. And I'll say there will be animosity that grows in this locker room, you know, for the bottom half of this roster, because if you feel like you're doing everything you need to do offensively and the defense is finally picking up some steam and they are playing well and special teams of all three facets of the football game is the one that struggles, you know, you look to those kickers and long snappers or linebackers that are teamers, because Carlos Dansby, you know, time and time again, if he keeps being disappointed by the special teams, going to look over at Tank Carter in the linebacker room and go, dude, what are you guys doing? You're killing us.
Well, and not only that, on the play that Poyer dropped, the punt, which ended up being catastrophic, Tank Carter jumped off sides on third and three, which would have given him a first down anyway.
Right.
So that was a double F on that play for the special teams.
The one thing they always talk about in meetings, right? They always talk about in meetings that you've got to win all three phases of the game, you know, and it's okay to be quiet on special teams. Being quiet on special teams, not turning the ball over, making tackles, keeping them inside the 20, those kind of things are what I'm talking about. I'm not necessarily
saying it doesn't
have to be lights out, you know, we're going to run back
touchdown,
a kick every other play. Just be sound and don't make mistakes and let your offense and your defense. But again, if you look at how this whole game, we lost it special team-wise, and we lost it offensively.
Totally.
Right?
Completely.
Defensively, they won, and in special teams, Jacksonville won. So they won two of the three. We had one of the three. They won. And coaches will tell you, they'll harp on that today. They'll let them know. And if there's a coach in there right now, special teams coaches, I guarantee you, those guys may have a little bit of little vinegar in their system.
They certainly might. One guy that I do want to single out who I think has been a special teams beast for this team is Marlon Moore. I think he's played fantastically well, number 15 for the Browns. So yeah, let's get some more guys doing Marlon Moore things out there. Jeff and Westlake, you're on CBD.
Hey, guys. You already stole my thunder about Gilbert, but I got a comment on Patine and then on
Ford. talk about Gilbert first. What did you see?
I thought he just played much better. I mean, it was a huge bonus if he keeps up that level of play, because it really helps solve the quarterback position. So,
well, that's what he was drafted eighth overall to do. Yeah. So I think it'll be definitely a nice bonus.
All right, and then on Patine and then Hoyer. I'm going to defend Mike on that decision to go for it in the second quarter. And the reason is because of the clock. You kick a field goal there, and you are guaranteeing that the Jags are going to get the ball back pretty much exactly where they started that drive anyway. And then they've got a chance to go into the locker room with a drive under their belt and, you know, perhaps score a touchdown to your field goal. Going for the touchdown there not only gave you the chance for the field goal, but if you get the first down, it burns the rest of that time off the clock so the Jags don't get the ball back. And then on Hoyer, and I'm getting worried. I mean, here's the reality. After six games, he's 34th in the league in completion percentage. And if you throw out this game, the worst one, he's still only 28th in the league in completion percentage. And, you know, it's getting to the point where the accuracy can't really be dismissed as a fluke anymore. So I'm concerned. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Very good call there, Jeff. Gentlemen?
He sounds like a lot like a guy that I know. You're absolutely right. I mean, the numbers are the numbers, and I think it's finally caught up to the Cleveland Browns and the inaccuracy of Brian Hoyer in this football game when there was a lack of a run game. When we were forced to throw the ball 40 times and put the game in Brian Hoyer's hands and these receivers, we realized he couldn't get it done, you know, which is scary. And again, not by any means am I jumping on or off any bandwagon. I'm just calling it as it is. There are things that he does well. There are also things that he struggles with. And against when some people might think, the worst team in the National Football League, he got exposed.
There are, and Pro Football Focus does an interesting stat. They call it quarterback accuracy percentage. So what that does is they take away anything where – and it was anything other than a perfect pass. So what I mean is, if it was a dropped pass, that doesn't count against your accuracy percentage. A throwaway does not count. A spiked ball does not count. Batted pass, if you were hit while you were throwing and couldn't complete the pass, that doesn't happen. None of those things count. In fact, they count drops as completions. So the formula for this percentage, quarterback accuracy percentage, is completions plus drops divided by attempts minus throwaways, spikes, batted balls, and hit is thrown. So it's just a true measure of when you stood on your feet, delivered the ball to your intended target, how often did you complete the pass? Brian Hoyer right now, of all there are 27 quarterbacks who have played 50% of their team snaps this year. He's dead last, 27th out of 27. So he is struggling in this department. Most guys in the league, 20 of them are at 74% or above. He's at 67%. There are guys right now, there are 13 guys at 75% or above. So He is struggling. This accuracy thing is becoming a little bit of an issue. And when you look at a team that is potentially without Alex Mack for the rest of the season, that is going to be struggling at times perhaps to run the ball and control the line of scrimmage, maybe not give you the cleanest pockets, doesn't have wide receivers with big catch radiuses. They don't have any JoJo Revicius's out there that you can throw the ball to and you're going to catch a less accurate pass because of your catch radius.
Thank you. These guys are smaller guys.
You have to put the ball on them. This could be a problem that we're starting to see develop, and it's showing up on tape, I think, to the rest of the NFL.
Well, before, let's put this out there. In my opinion, when we talk about true professionals, Josh Gordon's killing us right now. There's no question about it. We don't have the legitimate big play receiver out there right now because, quite frankly, it was selfish. So there's no denying that. So now you're taking another weapon away from Brian, okay? Brian's stats, everything you read there sounds cute. I can appreciate it. It's fun that people have jobs and they get to write those stats out and figure that out. The guys, we're 3-3 right now.
For sure.
I am jumping on the guy's back for one other reason. I could never, ever talk bad about a teammate because Brian Hoyer is better than the millions of people out there in the world. That's why he's playing professional football. If you're a true football fan or if you're a teammate, you are doing everything you can. I guarantee you he's going to be in here all day today, all day tomorrow, and back to work on Wednesday, ready to go. I don't take his demeanor as the kind of guy that's going to lay down and worry about
these things. Of course
not. So the thing that I would love to see is he gets back. Everybody's due a bad game. Everybody. Every team I've ever been on, we've had bad games. And this thing was – it was atrocious. There's no question. Okay? But now what happens when we start talking about this, then the Johnny Manziel thing comes up again.
Well, we haven't said that. And no, I don't think anybody's calling for it, at least here. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form.
You're right. Nobody. Nobody in the dog bowl is doing that right now. And I don't think we want to. But again, then come more distractions and more. And then before you know it, this thing blows up one more time.
I concur. And the one thing, even, again, I understand that there are people out there that statistically do that. I think in watching Brian Hoyer's game, you can see the inaccuracy. But the one thing that we have as Browns fans to be able to live with is, do we sacrifice the inaccuracy for he's a winner, he's a competitor, he's a leader, you know, a leader of men, and all those things. And he's doing something, winning football games and keeping us in football games and leading us. He's doing something that has broken a trend here in Cleveland, and that is why there are so many Brian Hoyer supporters.
And he's resilient.
And he's resilient, absolutely. There is fight.
You know what? I go to Brad Johnson in Tampa. When I was in Tampa, Brad Johnson couldn't throw a ball past 40 yards accurately.
I got a little quick story for you.
But
I took Brad Johnson at the ESPN Zone in Atlanta in the quarterback throw when they opened it up.
Oh, well, that's my point. You beat him.
Exactly.
But he was a winner, and he won a Super Bowl. So that's my thank you. That added to my point.
See, I knew that.
I think there's certain quarterbacks that have accuracy. There's certain quarterbacks that are winners. And would you rather have accurate and lose, or would you rather just have a winner and win?
Winner and win, and I think Brian Hoyer gets better in big moments, so that accuracy stat may be over the course of the game. I think the point that the caller made, and one that I hope that I can articulate in a way that is right and fair, is that this is in some ways who Brian Hoyer is. He's not going to be the most accurate quarterback with ball placement. That's okay. He is a winner. He can guide this team. He's not a game manager either. I know he can be very effective on the deep balls. Are there some you would have rather seen be complete in that game against Jacksonville? Sure. But at the end of the day, Brian Hoyer is a guy who, when, especially when things around him are going well, can be very successful for your team and certainly lead your team. Is he going to be a guy that's going to go ahead and drop back, throw it 55 times a game like a Peyton Manning or an Andrew Luck? No, but that's why those guys are number one overall picks. It's a different type of quarterback, but he can be incredibly effective in this system, as he has shown, and I think he will be again. There are just a lot of things that need to come together, and this was a very good defense that the Browns faced.
Right.
It was. And the one other thing, the one other point is you have to understand is, like, so we have an inaccurate quarterback, or a quarterback that tends to be inaccurate with small wide receivers.
Right.
You know, when you think of, you look at guys around the league, it's a guy like Dez Bryant, a guy like Megatron, a guy like Larry Fitzgerald. You don't have to be accurate for them. You know, you look at, or even go to
Denver.
Absolutely. You go to basketball. Yes. I mean, when you go to basketball, it's like, just throw the ball up towards the hoop. I'll go find it. You know, your point guard says to,
That's kind of how I played.
Yeah, right. But it's like, just put it in my radius, and I know my talent over that corner is I will go get it 7 out of 10 times. That's 70%, you know, whereas we have guys that are fighting to get open, guys who are undersized with small hands, and Nathan, as you said, with small catch radiuses that Brian's having to throw accurate balls to, but he has a tendency to be inaccurate.
That's right. Listen, Browns are going to right this ship. We're just breaking down what happened in what was a disappointing loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 24-6. When we come back, three questions with three-time Super Bowl champion Jerod Cherry here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.